Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, those watching on Facebook and those listening in their cars or on their phones or whatever, thanks as always for listening to the Bacon Smiles podcast. I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend
Evan Shaw Mumford.
That's right.
First podcast of 2019.
I know. Happy New Year, everyone. Can't believe it. 2019.
Whenever I take a look back at 2018, it just felt like a giant blur. I felt like we just rang in the new year like a day or two ago. But then when I think of all the things that were accomplished in 2018,
I know.
It's dizzying.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you think about it. And then, of course, you see all the memes. Like, and just like that, 1999 was 20 years ago.
Yeah. Hard truth.
Yeah, unbelievable. So, since our last podcast, we've had Christmas, New Year's,
my birthday.
Deacon Bill Bartlett's birthday.
That's right.
Just ran into him a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And then coming up, we both have class, confirmation class. I have a talk at parishes in South Windsor.
Cool.
Which is going to be awesome. It's their confirmation program, parents and teens, talking about the existence of God and how, like, science and whether or not it conflicts. So I'll go more into that next podcast because I don't want to give away all the little tidbits that I have going for my talk. So. Then I have a retreat the following weekend at St. Catherine's of Siena in Riverside, Connecticut. So prayers is all I'm looking for for both of those. Your support and everyone out there praying for me and my ministry is very much important. So I like to let people know about that. And then I've been told that the trivia that we've been doing is a little one-sided, where I kind of put you on the spot without knowing that I'm going to do it. So in front of you is another trivia game where you get to pick any card. Each color represents a different category. So you can choose anyone on there, and then I will have to answer it and see how I do. Those of you listening and watching live, you can play along too, see how you do. Sound good?
Fun way to start off 2019.
That's right. And then you got music.
Absolutely.
I got Bible, which the gospel is John 1:19-28. And then we have St. Basil the Great is our saint of the day. And then you got News of the Weird.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So, how was your Christmas?
It was good. It was nice and relaxed. My family always has celebrated on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Whereas my wife's family, my in-laws, have always celebrated Christmas Day.
Like Christmas morning or like...
We get to wake up and relax Christmas morning, and then we go over like midday to the in-laws. And my brother's in-laws are the same way.
Okay.
So it all works out that we don't have to do giant treks around the state to meet up with everyone. So, yeah, just had a nice Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day, Jen and I woke up, we exchanged some gifts, had some breakfast, and then we got to go hang out with her parents, and then had a little extra time to spend at my parents' house, and then, got to exchange a couple more gifts at home.
That's awesome. Yeah, we basically spent... Christmas morning here by our, like, just Eva and Zoe and I, which was awesome. It was great to, my parents sent up this really awesome food truck, Fisher Price food truck. It's like learn and serve, plays music and stuff like that. So Eva, being the wonderful person that she is, put it all together a couple days before. Stickers and all.
Wow.
Yeah, I am blessed to have such an amazing wife. My mom is funny because she said, you should have Eva do it. I know how impatient you get.
Is she wrong, though?
No, she's not wrong. I'm not a very patient person when it comes to stuff like that. I'm like, let's just get this done.
Yeah.
Sticker. It's so funny because we had like the morning kind of like planned out how we're going to do it. It's like Zoe normally gets up about this time and stuff like that. Well, Zoe like slept in that morning and made it like kind of like seem rushed. Yeah. Because we decided, because we went to Eva's sister's for Christmas Eve dinner. Mm. And we were thinking about going to Mass at 6 o'clock. Mm. But we felt like that would just keep Zoe up too late. And we wanted to go as a family. So we decided we were going to go to 10 o'clock in the morning, Christmas Day. I was a little worried because I've never been to that Mass. Yeah. And I don't know how busy it's going to be. Right. You know, like, but also it's kind of like, okay, do we want to do presents before that or after that or whatever? And of course, Zoe wakes up at like 8:45 and kind of throws the whole the whole morning off. And so we made breakfast and she, like, we brought her out and she put her down in the living room and she like immediately ran over to the food truck and started playing with it and pushing buttons and stuff. So it was awesome. But then she didn't want to open anything else.
Right. Hogged all the attention.
Yeah, and my Aunt Janet came and got to see Zoe playing, and we FaceTimed with my mom Christmas morning and stuff. So, and then Christmas Day evening, went to Eva's parents and did like the sibling exchange, sibling and in-laws, you know, exchange, where, you know, Eva's brother and his wife, Eva's sister and her husband and her brother, and we all just choose one name to do one gift, because like as adults, like money gets tight and like you just realize we don't need to be buying gifts for everyone, and I'm super appreciative of that. Just because I mean, money, you know, you don't want to just go all out and put yourself in trouble financially trying to buy gifts for everyone, but you still want to buy like something nice for someone.
Yeah.
And so this kind of has worked out pretty well with that. Trying to think, what else did we do? Christmas Eve Eve. We spent the day with Eva's mom's side of the family, which was really cool. So that was Sunday, the 23rd. And we were able to all kind of get together with cousins and stuff. And they do like the Yankee swap Christmas style of gifts among the cousins, which is really fun. And that was a lot. We did a lot.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember everything. But it was awesome. Spending the days with great people, great food, fun, just, you know, all around good time, you know.
Good food.
Yeah. So, where did you go for, like, dinner Christmas Eve, your parents?
Yes, that was at my grandparents, my parents' house. My grandparents came over.
Nice.
So, we got to see the extended family, too.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so, do you guys do, like, gifts among, like, everyone, or what's the normal tradition there?
Yeah, so Christmas Eve, my mom had asked us if we were going to be coming over Christmas Day as well. We said, well, we're going to be spending time with my in-laws. But I said, if we have time after, then we'll come over. And they said, all right, let's just do all our gifts to you guys and to your siblings on Christmas Eve. So we got to sit around and just exchange gifts. And then my grandfather has had this tradition that my mom's been trying to keep going, where he reads Jolly Old Saint Nicholas, which is a book that he got, I think it was when my mom was a couple of years old, and he made it a yearly tradition where it's a big children's book, but it's not chapters. It's just got a lot of pages and a lot of text on it.
Oh, okay.
Like full page illustrations. And
wow.
And it's really, really nice. And he'd break it down by day. So he'd read part of it one day, another part the next day, until it leads up until Christmas Eve. Now he's at the point where he's been reading it for 60 years.
Yeah.
And he's not so keen on continuing this tradition. But my mom's like, no, you will continue this for my children. So it gets sillier and sillier. And Jen just looks at me and goes, is he going to read that book again? Because I don't think I've ever heard it read properly.
The same way anytime. Yeah, that's sweet.
So my grandfather is 91, and we were talking about it over the summer. I said, and he said, this might be the last year I do it. My mom's going, no, you can't stop. And I said, tell you what, Grampy, how about I bring over my recorder, set it up on a tripod, and we record you reading it.
Yeah.
And
that way you can play it next year.
Right. And it'd be a great thing to have.
Yeah,
that he's 91. Yeah. You have that as a memory.
Yeah.
So I was expecting it to be a serious read. Of course not.
No.
he's putting in all these references that's making my mom sit there with her jaw hanging open, going, oh my gosh.
So this is
my beloved story. So I don't know. We might find a time this summer to go up to the Cape and record a serious version of it, but that version might be a little hard to come by.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like he wants to do a serious one. Right. At all.
And it was funny because my sister's friend came over and ended up staying with my family for the night. She's sitting there as my mom's horrified listening to the story. Yeah. My sister's friends doubled over in laughter going, this is the best Christmas story ever.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's an awesome tradition to have. It's you know, it's awesome. Eva's mom's side of the family, they do sharing for the year, like in setting a goal for the year ahead. You know, what's happened this past year and what are you looking forward to the next year? And you know, everyone kind of shares. And that's a really cool tradition, you know, where you kind of reflect on the year that you've had and look forward to the year ahead. So
yeah.
That's really cool. And that's, you know, kind of brings us to like New Year, you know, where that's a lot of people will say like, oh, great, 2018 was awesome. I'm looking forward to 2019. Or 2018 was rough. Let's hope for a better 2019.
Right. I saw this this meme the other day on Facebook, and Jen and I are actually doing this. It had this activity where it said, starting January, write on little sticky notes or pieces of paper, something good that happened to you either today or this week, and put it in a jar.
That's cool.
Continue that tradition throughout the year, and then on New Year's Eve, open up your jar and see what an awesome year you had.
That is an awesome thing to do.
I think Jen and I can agree that we had an awesome 2018.
Yeah.
So it's not like we were all like bummed out and everything and go, well, we need a reminder of how good our year was. But at the same time, it's nice to have that perspective.
Well,
yeah, able to look back and go, because like I said, looking back at 2018 and just trying to remember everything that happened, it was like a whirlwind. But to be able to look back and say, this all happened this year. We had a good year.
Well, that, and like if you have a couple of bad days, you can look at that jar and go, okay.
Yep.
Things are still pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's awesome.
So I went to Kmart, got a few jars on sale. And we're starting that.
That's cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Eva and I are trying to be a little healthier and for 2019.
Okay.
I need to stop eating as much. and Eva and I actually did an insanity workout today together. I was actually home in enough time to do it together with her. I walked through the door and she's like in her workout clothes and she's like, oh, Zoe's at my mom's. I'm like, oh. And she's like, yeah, I was just about to go downstairs and work out. And I'm like, okay. Not saying anything. She's like, would you want to do it? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
Sure.
Yeah. Was not prepared for how hard it was going to be. Let me tell you, the last time I did a full, you know, 60 days of the Insanity program was probably like 7 years ago.
Wow.
We've done it a couple of times where we did just month one or just a couple of weeks to try to get back into it and keep cardio up and stuff, but... Oh boy, am I out of shape. Let me tell you, like, I feel like my voice is raspy from breathing too hard. but yeah, so hoping to not just be in generalities, but, you know, really cut down on the carbs and the junk food. You know, pizza cannot be the easy go-to food.
Right. And it's hard for your job, too, because you do a lot of driving. You do a lot of installation and stuff like that.
Well, that's the stuff. So eating in between my jobs, you know, eating at one point during my workday is almost always going to be fast food or some kind of junk food. I need to get back to doing it, even if it's just a simple protein bar to hold me over until I get home. That way I'm not just, you know, gonna eat a bag of chips on the run, you know, because that's generally what happens.
Right.
So I gotta get back into that. Maybe I'll start cooking chicken again every morning or a couple times a week so that I can take some with me on the road in a little lunch bag. But yeah, it's all about trying to make the healthy choices. I know it's super general and they say the New Year's resolutions that fail are always the ones that are super general.
Yeah.
But if I just set a goal that I'm going to lose a certain number of pounds this year, I also don't want to be just trying to sprint towards that goal, right, like, you know, 11 months from now.
Right.
I want to set a goal that I'm going to work out at least 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an obtainable goal, because the other thing they say about goals that fail are the ones that you just set. Like, I'm going to work out every day. Yeah. Like, you can't. Like, yeah, life happens. Life happens. There's no way that with, my full-time job and church and a one-year-old that I'm going to be able to work out every day. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be that reasonable goal of three times a week. Mm-hmm. If I can make three times a week, if I make four or five times a week, awesome. Yeah. But my goal is going to be at least 3 days a week, you know? And that's the thing and I know with Eva being home with Zoe all the time, she can't do it every day. Mm-hmm. But she's trying to put a schedule together and she's very dedicated. She's going to have a plan. This is why we work well together, because I am the opposite of planning. I'm like, hey, let's just see how it goes.
Yeah.
But that's what's, you know, awesome about the two of us balancing each other out. She is a planner. It was the hardest thing for her in the world to do when we went to Ireland, to just go and then pick things to do there. If it were up to her, we would have had a trapper keeper filled with an itinerary. But it worked out great, and we still got to plan a little, you know, day trips and stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's great to have her saying, like, okay, well, we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this. And all right, we need to make, you know, your days off for Sundays and Mondays. I know you have church on two Sundays of the month, and you got retreats coming up. When can we fit in this, and when can we fit? It's like, that's awesome. I need that. I need a logistical person in my life. Yeah. And I know from her end, I have to be the most annoying person in the world because I rely on her to tell me where I'm supposed to be. She puts up with me. She loves me anyway. And I'm very appreciative of that. And just even with, I put in a ton of hours this Christmas at work, at my full-time job. So she just picks up the slack. She just goes through, she just picks it up. Like, there were days where I literally didn't see Zoe. I left before she woke up, and I got home after she went to bed. And that's a lot, you know, on Eva. And so just, I'm super appreciative of everything that she does. And I know I've said it in the past, like, I just hope that she knows that, you know, I'm all over the place and I know, but, for Christmas, and it was kind of like months, in planning, I got Eva a Nintendo Wii and a bunch of like, Wii games and stuff. And I got help from other people who gave me old systems, and I was kind of thrifty in getting bundles of games and stuff because it's used. It's an older system that's not made anymore. And so, but she loves it. I wanted to get something that she would really, really enjoy. And that's where it's like, okay, I got this and I'm not spending a ton of money on it. And it works out. So it was one of those things where, she's playing it right now, I think. But that's like one of the ways that I try to show appreciation is like making sure for Christmas, I got her something that she would really enjoy, and trying to be thoughtful with that. And that's, I hope, that she notices that, like, because I'm not the best at telling her enough how much she means to me, how much I appreciate everything that she does. I'm just not great at just being like, hey, you know what? You're awesome. Because also, anytime I say that, I feel like, is it... am I supposed to say it? You know what I mean? Like, if from her perspective, and I don't know this, from her perspective, is it just like, oh, you're just saying what you're supposed to say?
Yeah.
You know? And so that's really tough anyway. But, yeah, so I love my wife. That's the...
good.
The point behind all of this. But what did you guys do for New Year's Eve?
So my family ended up hosting a Gatsby party.
Gatsby?
Yes. And it was kind of funny because leading up to it, Jen was super excited. For me, the idea of dressing up in a roaring 20s outfit was not immediately the most exciting thing.
Where does one find a roaring 20s outfit?
You could go to Amazon. That's what Jen ended up doing. She got a dress from Amazon.
Okay.
There's a couple stores. I ended up as a joke because I was like, how could I throw up? Because my sister's a theater major. She was the one that came up with the idea for it, the Gatsby party.
Yeah.
So I was like, how could I throw a wrench into this and have a little bit of fun? So I dressed up as Marty McFly and showed up super confused.
Oh, that's sweet.
So I had a jean jacket from when I was a youngin. And Jen ended up finding one of the puffy jackets. So I threw that on. I had one of my work shirts on underneath and then a red t-shirt underneath the button-up shirt.
That's cool.
And jeans. And then so our friends showed up. They walked into the house. And then a few minutes later, I came running in going, Doc! this is not the right year. And then I brought, a shirt. Button-down shirt, jacket, slacks, okay. Just in case that
didn't
hit
go
the fan.
Over well.
Yeah, and thankfully it did work well, but I ended up quickly switching out so I wouldn't be the focus of everything.
So, nice. That's
so yeah,
awesome.
we ended up hanging out at my parents' house. They had about 20 people over, and we just chilled, played a few games of
cool
charades and Jenga and.
Yeah, that's awesome. Speaking of charades, Eva got me dance charades.
Very nice.
For Christmas that I can use at youth groups and stuff. So that's really
fun. That's excellent.
That's awesome.
Dance I'm pretty like the description.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty psyched about that. So that's a fun game.
Yeah.
And you know me, I love game nights and stuff like that.
Yeah, anything to get everybody moving and
yeah,
talking.
And just getting everyone engaged.
Yeah.
But speaking of
you ready for
games.
Your trivia?
Yeah. All right.
So let's see what the topics are here. You said there's a couple categories. We have anything goes. We have history, geography. We have science, nature, tech. We have entertainment. And we have sports and recreation. Knowing how well you know sports, I'm going to avoid that category because I remember one New Year's we were playing a game of trivia with sports, and you and Eva whooped us pretty good. So let's see.
That is true. I probably would do well on the sports and recreation category. You were definitely trying to go with one.
We were so awful. It was like, can you give us something in entertainment? Let's see. Okay, we'll go with anything goes.
Okay.
And how many questions do you want to do? You want to do three?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So the first question is, what facial feature is the Mona Lisa missing?
Oh, goodness.
What facial feature is the Mona Lisa missing?
What? Okay. I'm just guessing here.
Sure.
Okay.
And then humans are part of the animal kingdom. Name the other four kingdoms.
What is
this? This is anything goes.
All right. Fantastic. All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And this one, I'll give you an easy one. What plant is traditionally worn on St. Patrick's Day?
Ooh.
A little bit of an Irish influence there.
Okay. Go to question eight.
Question eight. In what decade was University Games co-founder Chris Lemon Byrne born?
Boom. Boom. Back.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to go with... Yep. I'm going to just circle just because you mentioned it before.
Do not look at the screen. Jen typed in an answer.
I already had it. I saw it. I already had it. I promise. I swear okay. I already had it. All right. That was my guess. That's awesome.
Art teacher coming in for the... All right. So you got the facial feature that
is Mona Lisa's eyebrows.
Yep, very good. What did you get for the other four kingdoms?
I put plant kingdom.
That's one.
I did not have any others. Is there water kingdom?
No. So it's plant kingdom, fungi kingdom, protista kingdom, and monaran kingdom.
Oh, good.
I would have never guessed that either.
Hey, I got plant.
You got plant.
And you said clover, plant,
shamrock.
Is that the same thing?
Same thing. It can be the same thing. Shamrock.
All right. And decade, number eight.
Oh, yes.
I put 1920s. So I was just guessing.
That was number eight. That was 1950s.
Nah, wrong. What was the question again?
It was, in what decade was University Games co-founder Chris Lemon born?
All right.
And that was 1956, to be exact.
I did okay.
You did okay.
I knew Plant Kingdom, and then I...
Eyebrows.
If you asked me again right now, still wouldn't know the other ones. You just said them.
Do you want me to do a sports one? Let's do a sports one.
Let's see how I do. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Ready.
All right. In baseball, being that spring training is coming up,
yeah.
In baseball, does the home team or visiting team always bat first?
Okay.
Thanks, Buster. Next one is name four of the five NFL teams named after birds.
Okay. Hold on. Okay, I'm gonna have to go like division by division here. No. No. Goodness. You said four?
Yes.
Four out of how many? It just says name the four that are named after
four,
birds.
Oh, it says name four of the five NFL teams
named goodness, after birds. I should know this. Okay, I got three, but hold on. go to the next question.
Okay, here's the last one. We'll do three.
Okay.
In which country is the world's largest sporting stadium located?
All right, I'm going to guess. Okay. All right, so visiting team always bats first.
That's correct.
Eagles, Seahawks, Falcons, Ravens, and what's the, Cardinals.
Very good. You got them all. And then which country has the world's largest
Mexico.
Sporting? North Korea.
Wow. Is this according to Kim Jong-un?
Here, we'll do a bonus one. With which sport do you associate the word refusal?
Refusal? I don't know. Cricket?
Nope. Equestrian events. Horse racing.
All right. Okay.
But very good. Very good.
Sweet. Yeah, as you can tell, that's my wheelhouse.
That's your strength.
All right. Music.
Music. So it was funny. Right before this podcast, you were looking over at me. So how you coming? Because I was busy listening to a new album that's coming out this Friday. Andrew Rip, who I'm not all that familiar with, has teamed up with Chris Rice, who I am familiar with, to put out an acoustic pop rock album called Rip and Rice. And there's a couple songs you can sample on iTunes. I've already pre-ordered it because it sounds amazing. And that comes out this Friday if you want to check that out. Also coming out a week from... Is it a week from this Friday? No, it's coming out the 18th of January. We're going to hear a new album from Switchfoot called Native Tongue. And if you're into gospel music, WOW Gospel 2019 comes out on the 18th.
Wow.
And that's got all the biggest gospel songs of 2018.
How long has WOW been doing its thing?
It's got to be going on since the early 90s, I'd have to say.
Yeah, I mean, at least, right?
I'm checking it
now. Googling
it?
Hitting the Googleator?
Yes, I'm hitting the Wikipedia page. But I think it started like 1990.
Well, I definitely remember our youth minister, Vicky Rispoli, getting...
Okay, like 95.
Annually, like the WOW CDs, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Yeah, it would like every year she would get it. So like she probably had WOW 95.
Right. That's when the first one came out. It was actually released November 7th, 1995 was WOW Hits 1996. And that was before
they were traveling in the future.
Right. And I remember a lot of people when I started picking up the CDs were going, oh, that's a ripoff of Now.
Yeah.
But the Now CDs became popular in the States in the late 90s. So the WOW started first, but they had been going on in Europe for a while. So right now, if you pick up a WOW CD in Europe, a Now CD in Europe, it's like 200 or something.
Yeah. Well, then they started releasing a couple a year.
Yeah.
And then they had, like, you know, different genres and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. There's a lot of those out there. But the WOW CDs, you know.
And they're great because you get one CD that's got more of the softer songs, like the mm-hmm. K-Love kind of songs. Yeah. And then the other CD you have more of the alternative, more pop rock
absolutely.
Sound.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's it, music?
That's it for music for now.
All right. Let's hit up our
Bibble.
I'm just going to read it off the screen.
Sure.
I'm getting old, you know.
I see you've increased the text size.
I'm 35. I gotta, you know, I'm telling you.
Start getting AARP magazines.
Yeah, exactly. So. All right.
Discount at Dunkin'.
All right. Gospel according to John. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" He admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? So we can give an answer to those who sent us. What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert. Make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent, and they asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but the one who is among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I love this gospel. You know, because it's John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. And it's such a tie-in with Christmas where mm-hmm. the baby leaped.
Yeah.
And knowing that John the Baptist was coming before Christ to kind of mm-hmm. like lead the way. And I apologize. My dog is eating food and scratching.
This is quite an amazing background sound effect during the gospel reading.
I just loved all of the things that bring together the coming of Christ, where John the Baptist, people are following John the Baptist because they know there's something special about him. And he just turns to them and says, listen, I am not worthy of the praise. The one who comes after me is worthy of the praise. I baptize with water, but the one after me, I am not worthy to untie his sandal strap. Like that, you know, that's where it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, this is definitely one of those gospels where it's like, oh, okay. This is the story that leads to this, that leads to that. And it's like, oh, all right. You know, and that's why I love the daily readings, where it can, it ties the gospels together. And if you read all the daily gospels, you get the whole story, you know. And that's where the Gospel of John explaining just... this part of the Gospel of John, explaining John the Baptist and then leading into Christ will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And that, you know, just like leading into like the truth of John the Baptist, leading into the truth of Christ, you know?
Yeah.
Like just their actual real life journey, you know? And it's like you don't recognize he's here. John the Baptist was not that much older than Jesus. So they were around at the same time. So therefore, like, he's among us, but you don't recognize him. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this it's an awesome gospel. I love this gospel. Got anything on it?
I was just thinking what it would be like to go back to that time to hear him say that, you know, and the people that are following him excited, asking him these questions, and then hearing, I am not him, but he is coming. You know, what would the what would the general reactions be? Would they be intrigued? Would they be excited? Would they be skeptical? It'd be interesting to see. You know?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, too, is you got to remember with John the Baptist, like, it's like Mary and her cousin, you know, and her cousin who was supposed to be barren has John the Baptist.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like both of them were kind of, you know, Mary's trying to share what's going on with her, but also tend to her pregnant cousin, you know, and all that stuff, too. It's just like, so both Jesus and John the Baptist knew there was something special about them, right? Right from the get-go. And Jesus, being God, like, definitely knew.
Yeah.
You know, that's the, you know, you think, like, it's just all that, just the thought that, like, God came down as a baby, you know, and was raised up by the Blessed Mother. But at the same time, like, her cousin is raising someone who's going to lead the way for Christ and baptize people with water, and just kind of just says, like, no, listen, I'm just baptizing you with water so that you understand we are prepping for the coming of the Lord. Make way the path of the Lord. Like, what? You know, like, just awesome.
Yeah.
And so our saint of the day, Saint Basil the Great, which I love when any saint is the great, not to mention when their name is Basil. he's actually a pretty cool story. He was a very, he was on his way to being a very famous teacher at his of his time when he realized he needed to go into religious life. He decided he was going to go into religious life and become a monk. So as well as St. Francis is known for the religious life of monks in the West, St. Basil is known for basically creating monasteries in the east in what is like now like southern Turkey. And so he was very steadfast in remaining Orthodox in the Christian belief, in the belief that Christ was divine. There was, of course, when he was around, there was a lot of fighting amongst like who Christ was, and was he just like a prophet? Was he just a dude? Like, you know, like was he just whatever? And so these leaders at the time were killing people who wouldn't just say whatever the political stance was at the time of whatever ruler, king, or you know, lord, you know, of the area was, warlord, however you want to put it. He would not back down. He became the archbishop of now what is Turkey, and he was getting a lot of pressure from the political leaders of the time, the rulers of the land, and he steadfastly denied that. The rulers of the land wanted him to give out communion to everyone, didn't matter what they believed or whatever, and he's like, no, steadfast, you either believe or you don't believe. I can't give you communion if you are a non-believer and not, you know, you're not following the Christian Catholic life. Why I can't give you communion? And so he actually was threatened with death a couple times and that kind of stuff. But ended up, the ruler ended up backing down, I think probably because of pressure from, you know, everyone else, and him being the archbishop, especially back in the day, that held a lot of power as well. So Saint Basil the Great lived a pretty extraordinary life. He could have just been like a very famous professor, but he chose to live the life of a priest and a monk, and became Archbishop of what is now known as Turkey.
Very good.
So Saint Basil the Great is our saint of the day.
Cool. So for news of the weird, this is coming from East Vincent Township in Pennsylvania, and it starts off a little scary. Apparently on December 26th, the day after Christmas, the local SWAT members were dealing with a armed standoff in East Vincent Township, Pennsylvania, and this standoff lasted for 10 hours. However, it ended when one of the... when one of the negotiators got the person to surrender after singing White Christmas to him.
What?
So All right. The person standing out there starts singing Christmas carols, and the perpetrator ended up putting down the gun and surrendering.
Oh, he must have been a pretty good singer.
Yeah. So it's a nice little feel-good ending and Christmas spirit.
That's awesome.
As we still continue in the Christmas season.
Yeah, that's amazing. I most people, I guess, once they start that, they don't want to, give up. Yeah. So I can't imagine that was easy to do. But that's cool. Like I said, must have been an amazing singer.
Yeah. Or that song just hit the person somewhere in the heart.
Yeah. You know? Just remembering what the real meaning of the time is.
That's right.
But that music, for those of you listening to the podcast, means it's time to wrap it up. Thanks to you guys who watch live on Facebook. Thanks for you guys who listen to us, support us, message us, and give us ideas for topics and games and stuff to play. Yeah. So we appreciate it very much. Happy New Year. Thanks for listening.
God bless. Merry Christmas.
And thank you. Keep smiling. And God bless.